the people who slaughtered Matthew Shepard are martyrs, raise your hand.
Yeah, that would really put it on the spot, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Okay. All of you with your hand raised, you're going to hell. Goodbye.
You know, and then you've got the vice president appearing on Rush Limbaugh, and who echoes the same sort of demented weirdness. The whole situation is so convoluted and just so plain evil. It's hard to wrap your head around it. And you know, I'm still convinced that what the right is doing is trying to use the gay community as a. I don't think they really hate us that much. I think they're using us as a test case, just to see how far they can go. Now, you know, that's switching over to abortion rights now, because they did get away with this the rollback on we all know how that went down a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's all being used as test case. They want to see just how far they can push this to defend.
Well, they want to see how far they can push it toward making determinations as to who's a citizen, who's not a citizen. You know, we've learned recently that thanks to laws passed in the last 10, 15 years, however, by the Republican Congress, that you're not necessarily, just because you're born here doesn't mean you get to stay here. That's a law in this country now.
Yes, and we must be talking about brown children that are born when their parents cross the border.
Bingo. And the Republicans have such a nice little name for them. They call them anchor babies.
Yeah.
You know, like they'd like to throw them to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah. It's funny that they don't throw it too far away from the retail community, you know, anchor stores, that all kind of connects.
Yeah, it really does. You know, but they're not snowflakes, because snowflakes aren't brown.
Yeah.
Snowflakes are snow white.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a matter of trying to determine whose citizenship, whose rights they can violate and get away with. From the AFA Action Alert, let's see, Republicans tried to expand the protected class in the bill to include senior citizens, pregnant women, prior victims, children under 18, the unborn, court witnesses, the military, and more. Democrats defeated all amendments protecting the welfare of homosexuals above other classes of citizens. Well, see, this is...
The mind boggles, doesn't it?
No, it does. I mean, I just
for a while back the attack ad against the AARP, and what it showed was a soldier in the left-hand picture and a couple of guys getting married in the right-hand picture, and the caption under the guys getting married was the real AARP agenda. When they were attacking the American Association of Retired People, they made it sound like they were pro-gay and not pro-soldier. It's funny how they stir this stuff up. They're really just evil people.
And they've got millions of tax-free dollars to do it with.
Oh, yeah, but the artwork was really nice. You know, multicolor, you know, all, you know, it's been a very nice print ad.
Yeah, it's not like they got it done at Walmart.
Oh, no, no, this is not copier machine stuff. This is the real deal.
Made on a Mac.
Yeah.
Sorry.
How long can these people continue to endorse the mediocrity? And it seems to me, you know, the old joke about even a blind squirrel finds
even a blind hog finds an acorn now
yeah,
and then.
Right. So how can the left be so blind? Even they've got to find an acorn.
No, because see, we got the poisoned dog food on our hog. Our hog's dead.
Oh no, not the Republican eating hog. The horn hog is dead. Jesus. We've got to take up a fundraiser. We have to have that hog. That's required.
Oh God. These people make me crazy.
They do, me too, Bob. And you know, like I say, I'm just kind of a, you know, one subject guy tonight. This is the only thing that really stirred me up, but you know, if I don't tell you, who the hell am I going to tell?
Well, that's only because I haven't kept you on here long enough, Peter. I got two or three here that'll have you dancing and screaming around the room and speaking in tongues before you know what hit you.
Oh, God. I've come to the well of all knowledge of evil. Guard of good and evil here.
Well, I was trying to convey that to Crystal Zivanya. Yeah. I read this evil stuff all the time. And just to sit back and read, you know, something real and not just be confronted. You know, there's unintentional evil and wrongdoing, and there's intentional evil. And I'm reading about all this intentional evil all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's always stirred up somehow with deflecting it. You know, look over here, here's the problem, and then somehow they paint that picture on top of what they're against, which is, you know, control of guns or keeping the money away from Halliburton.
He committed impeachable offenses, say liberal authors. How about Bush, Cheney committed impeachable offenses, say legal scholars?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that reminds me so much of the way newspapers covered child molestation cases in the 50s. If an adult man molested a little girl, there'd be a little article, you know, a couple of pages in that said, you know, a child molestation case. But if it happened to be a case where a man molested a little boy, it'd be the front page, you know, homosexual man molest, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, I've been noticing that more and more, especially like in Associated Press, where the choices of words are so insidiously sarcastic. Just want to reach out.
Emphasizing a plan by public broadcasting service stations to begin showing later this week a three-part television documentary series on atheism, calling it demagogic and propagandistic. Pot meat kettle.
Hot meets cattle.
No, see, that's part I added.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
This series is about the disappearance of something, religious faith. And you know, oh, God, it's just...
Yeah, they're really everywhere. And, you know, we've talked before about how, you know, for 40 years they've been doing these think tanks and how they would gradually take over the planet and implement all of these divisive changes in the way we think and what... And they've done it, it's like a cancer, and the tendrils really extend throughout the body. There's just about no place you can turn out, you know.
Hey, wait, but we got a little breakthrough going here, okay? Headline, and again, this is a Christian news website, all right?
Okay.
Headline, gun control bill seeks to close terror gap. Huh?
Yeah, that...
Wait, it's a Ginsu commercial, Peter. There's more. A Second Amendment group says Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez should resign. Well, breath of fresh air. Right-wingers.
Right.
Wait, given his troubling support for a new gun control bill.
Oh, Jesus. So they're going to...
Yeah, Jesus wept. I know.
Yeah, they're going to go with the resigned it, but for an entirely... for a good reason.
Yeah, because the real reason, like him being a lion torture tolerating... No, he's a man of God.
Yeah. It gives them a way out. There's always a way out with those people.
Section 1237 would give the Attorney General, a presidential appointee, the authority to suspend or cancel someone's Second Amendment right, even if that person has never been charged with a crime, the Second Amendment Foundation warned. At the Justice Department's request, the bill was introduced last week by Senator Frank Lautenberg, D., New Jersey, whom the Second Amendment Foundation describes as one of the most extreme anti-gunners in Congress.
Anti-gunners, is it? Yeah.
Now, what's this is a Christian news website. What's this doing on a Christian news website? Jesus says don't let him have the gun.
Yeah, we turned the ship around in the harbor over by San Diego, so it looks like Bush flew out into the ocean to meet the troops.
God, I wish he'd flown into the ocean. Oh, stop, what did I say?
Oh, and the kindest ship was possible.
Yeah. Make a little water landing like his daddy did.
That's right, of course, a mermaid saved him. Big butch mermaid.
See, you're doing promos again.
I'm sorry. I'm just drawn that way.
Oh, God. Yeah, Janice Krauss, director of the Beverly LaHaye Institute. LaHaye? Do we recognize that? For conservative group Concerned Women for America, told Cybercast News that, quote, airing the atheism program gives credibility and cohesiveness to individuals who seek to undermine the beliefs and values on which democracy and the American dream are founded. Really? Atheism's an attack on the Constitution? Oh, no, she's talking about the Bible.
Right. It's sad. You know, in this headline, fake anti-gay hate crimes keep piling up in huge bullfront. Why couldn't I read fake evangelical preachers keep piling up? You know, how many can you name just off the top of your head?
Don't get me started.
Exactly. You know, it's It's a scary planet. And you know, there are a lot of people reading this stuff. We heard from one of these people. God James had the honor of this kid calling in. I think it might.
Okay, this is the second time I've heard about some right-wing freak calling God.
Oh, it was something else. He calls in, and he said a friend recommended Guy James' show to him, that he had listened to it for 2 or 3 days, and boy, had he had it. And he was an ex-Marine, mind you. Now, this kid sounded all of 16 or 18. I think that's a complete lie, but, you know, the lying is expected, you know, property, when people call it. You know, and all about how we should be ashamed, Guy should be ashamed of criticizing the government, and how, and so Guy asked him, so what have we done good in Iraq? You know, what is, you know, we've got Saddam out. Okay, we got Saddam out. You know, name something else. And it quickly degenerated from there. He's from, of course, he explained he's from a good Republican family, and that his mother and father had, you know, believed in Republican values, and that he was, you know, on the right path, and what a bad thing we're doing, And, oh, yes, he actually said that Sean Hannity was, quote, a genius. He actually said that.
Genius?
Yeah, that was about the point that got.
Well, okay, Sean Hannity may be a genius, like Wile E. Coyote was a genius.
Yeah.
Super genius. I like that.
But those are the kind of people that are reading this, you know, what is the, did I say it was from? The American Conservative?
Yeah.
What's the name?
Where are these freaks when I need them?
The conservative.
Voice. I haven't gotten to chew on a conservative in a long time.
I know you must be starving. You know, every once in a while we'll get one of the chat rooms.
Feed me, Seymour.
Yeah, but you don't get very many. I know you must be a hungry little liberal spider.
I am. You know, it's a little shop of horrors right here.
Feed me. I love it. I wish one would call. I mean, they're just so not even wired into the same planet.
No, they're not. They're living on planet Zoob.
Yep.
With President Zorg.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he's a good man. He's a good man. He's a Christian man. Yeah, I mean, that's you know, you're taking me back to those awful places. The prayer for George Bush that the boys over at WD-40 found over at Free Republic. You know, I was emailing with Clyde, and they're not over it yet. I mean, you don't go over to Free Republic and stay there for very long and you know, get over it anytime soon. I mean,
Bob, I looked at that site once.
Oh, I think there's going to be counseling involved.
Oh man, yeah, I had tremors for days after I went there. Pretty horrifying. <you know? laughs>
And oh, by the way, just in case you were wondering, Peter, the hate crimes bill.
Yeah.
These the right wing has suddenly found George Orwell's 1984. after the domestic spying scandal. After the domestic illegal wiretapping scandal, after the destruction of habeas corpus, after Abu Ghraib, after the FBI spying on vegans.
Yes, and the Quakers.
And the Quakers.
And taking over.
The right wing has found 1984. In George Orwell's classic novel 1984, the government thought police constantly spies on citizens to make sure they're not thinking rebellious thoughts. Uh-huh. Thought crimes are severely punished by Big Brother. 1984 was intended as a warning against totalitarian governments that enslave and control their citizens. Never have we needed this warning more urgently than now, because America's thought police are knocking on your door!
Meaning us?
Last week, the House Judiciary Committee, egged on by radical homosexual groups...
Oh, no, not us again!
...passed what can only be called a thought crimes bill. It's called the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act, but this bill is not about hate. It's not even about crime. It's about outlawing peaceful speech. Speech that asserts that homosexual behavior is morally wrong.
Yeah. You know, there was a... I thought you may remember his name. His name was Leonard Matlevich. He was, I forget which war. I guess it might have been Vietnam. It's been quite a while ago. But anyway, his fairly famous quote, he said, I killed a man in battle and I got a Purple Heart, and I loved a man and got a dishonorable discharge, or words to that effect. I can't quote it correctly, but you know.
Well, yeah, and Crystal Zevon said it herself. Warren Zevon avoided the war by going in and saying, I am just so gay. And got a psychiatrist say, yep.
Yep.
Checked him out. He's on the gay agenda. He's gay. Okay. No war for you, boy.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, you know, You know, if somebody's going to take America down, you know, why not the gays? You know, I hate for the right wing to get all the credit of ruining the country.
I know, but how is America possibly going to be fall after it's been appropriately decorated?
I know. It would be such a shame. Imagine window treatments in every window.
I know. It's not sconces, for the love of God, sconces.
Oh, Lord, it's just a shame. I mean, you know, all this uproar about holding hands in public, it's just amazing.
I know. All right, Peter, so good to hear from you.
You too, and keep up the good work. Hang in there.
Love you, Peter.
Go.
I love you first.
Love you more.
You too. What am I going to do? Go read your copy of 1984. It's a gay book now.
Okay, got you. We're the evil ones. Got it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, don't forget. Later.
Okay, bye.
Mercy. Yep. After all that, they finally discovered 1984. Irony is lost on these people. We'll come back and wrap it all up here in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad Wally and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
about 10 and a half minutes before the hour, a few minutes left in the program this evening. Something I told our good buddy David in Maine earlier on that I had in the stack, I wanted to make sure I got to this evening. I'm Bob Kincaid, by the way. You know that. Headline, Army squeezes soldier blogs, maybe to death. The U.S. Army has ordered soldiers to stop posting their blogs or sending personal email messages without first clearing the content with a superior officer. The directive issued April 19th is the sharpest restriction on troops' online activities since the start of the Iraq War. We can't have the troops telling the truth about what the, about what a screwed-up, miserable mess it is over there in Georgia's little fairy land of blood. Military officials have been wrestling for years with how to handle troops who publish blogs. Hell, it goes back further than that. Hey, look, everybody, it's Literature Corner again. And we'll go back to the same book we went to last night, okay? Because this thing is just a treasure trove of military screwed-upness. Catch 22 by Joseph Heller. All the officer patients in the ward, talking about the hospital there on the island of Pianosa, you've got to be familiar with this book. If you've not read this book, go get this book. All the officer patients in the ward were forced to censor letters written by all the enlisted men patients who were kept in residence in wards of their own. It was a monotonous job, and Yossarian was disappointed to learn that the lives of enlisted men were only slightly more interesting than the lives of officers. After the first day, he had no curiosity at all. To break the monotony, he invented games. Death to all modifiers, he declared one day, and out of every letter that passed through his hands went every adverb and every adjective. The next day, he made war on articles. He reached a much higher plane of creativity the following day, when he blacked out everything in the letters but A, an, and the. That erected more dynamic intralinear tensions, he felt, and in just about every case left a message far more universal. Soon he was prescribing parts of salutations and signatures and leaving the text untouched. One time he blacked out all but the salutation, Dear Mary, from a letter, and at the bottom he wrote, I yearn for you tragically, A.T. Tapman, Chaplain, U.S. Army. A.T. Tapman was the group chaplain's name. When he had exhausted all possibilities in the letters, he began attacking the names and addresses on the envelopes, obliterating whole homes and streets, annihilating entire metropolises with careless flicks of his wrist as though he were God. Catch-22 required that each censored letter bear the censoring officer's name. Most letters he didn't read at all. On those he didn't read at all, he wrote his own name. On those he did read, he wrote Washington Irving. When that grew monotonous, he wrote Irving Washington. What's the difference? Same stuff, different day. Wayne joins us. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
What's happening, man?
Oh, did you hear my computer just...
Yeah, I did. You've got some killer speakers there, dude.
Yeah, I know. I know a guy who told me to buy them.
Yeah, you know this guy who knows a guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're good speakers. It was good advice.
Okay, cool.
Good advice.
Yeah, good guy.
I don't know where to start.
The beginning?
The beginning is I'm extremely pissed off.
Not you. Not
yeah.
Sweet little you.
I'm extremely pissed off at pretend Christians. And, you know, this is a personal thing. Maybe I shouldn't do it, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay.
You know, we have a supposed Christian that used to call this show and, you know, called you a demon and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to mention any names, but his name is Jim.
Okay.
And, you know, I want to know, you know, like what, and I hope he's listening, and I bet he is, you know.
No, I get these emails all the time. I just don't
Yeah, well, listen, you know, I mean, this guy, you know, professes to be such a Christian and such a godly man and yada, 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 and... Let me ask you something. What is Head On Radio, Wayne Rebich or Bob Kincaid ever done to this man except try to make him a friend, try to include him, try to,
Yeah, we did all that.
Yeah, we did. You know, try to keep him out of his recluse existence and stuff like that. And this guy disagrees with us, so his goal is to try to ruin people. Ruin what, you know, what we have tried to set up in the name and the honor of my wife.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that he's done. I know he's called my office in Charleston, and I know it's him because he asked.
Your office has nothing to do with the network.
No, it does not. The ACT Foundation does not have anything to do with this network.
No.
And, you know, I know it's him because he asked for the chain of command. You know, so, you know, that's old military Christian. How unchristian, could you possibly be than to try to ruin what people have tried to set up to try to honor people who believed in this and who have passed? And, you know, I just came back from the Chamber of Commerce business thing, and, you know, a friend of mine.
Yes.
And, you know, normally would never say anything, but asked me, did I realize that I was getting complaints from Bob about Bob Kincaid?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Has he got his knickers in a twist?
Exactly. You know, and I mean, my God, man. And you have the nerve, the balls, to call yourself a Christian?
Well, I wouldn't
and
say
this
that.
Is what you do? And, you know, maybe I don't believe in everything you believe in.
No, well, see, no, but when you take these people, Wayne, and you hold the light up to their fantasies and their superstitions and their bigotries, they come apart and they lash out. I've seen I remember what happened to well, children I've known when they first find out there's no Santa Claus, they get really hateful. And that's where this person is. It's just pathetic.
Well, it is pathetic. And it is pathetic, and we don't deserve that. We don't deserve that at all. And I certainly don't deserve it. My wife doesn't deserve it. And, you know, this person is a despicable human being. And, you know, tell me what is Christian about anything he has done.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
But,
and, you know, he is, you know, he's no better than these people that pretend to be Christians that have started this war on false pretenses that promote, you know,
mm-hmm.
they care about people. You know, my ass.
Yeah.
And, you know, it.
Well, you did explain to our friend over there at the district council that he was dealing with a nut job, right?
He won't talk to him.
Well, of course not. Who would?
He knows that. He knows that, you know. And believe me, that it will have absolutely no effect whatsoever.
No.
I mean, you know, well.
No, because the work we do from the right place and with the right spirit and in the right direction. You know, but you got to understand, Wayne, this is religious bigotry. See, I'd bet you've got some multi ancient great grandfather or grandmother somewhere along the way who, after they'd created the next generation, the church probably, we're all related to somebody that got killed by the church. Do you realize that? They killed so many people across Europe, from the 11th to the 16th centuries, that every single human being alive of any kind of European ancestry, and God knows of Native American ancestry, is related to somebody that got murdered by Mother Church.
We're talking about crusades and stuff like that. Right?
No, we're talking about burning people. The Holy Roman Church burned people alive. They burned women alive as witches for suggesting that bathing might make you healthier. Okay?
Right.
If you were seen in the company of a black cat,
this guy would fit right in with those people.
Right, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. If he had his way 500 years ago, he'd come and set fire to your house.
Exactly. Exactly. And
mine, okay? I mean, I'm getting these emails. We've got a cyber stalker on our hands.
Well, you know. If
he could get out of his house, we'd have a real stalker.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't believe in the things this guy believes in, but I know he believes in hell. And that makes me want to really believe in it, because I hope that Christy burns in it forever.
Well said.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do. It's highly frustrating. And see, this is the kind of thing that right wingers do. You got it. Well, this is the same. This is what got done to me in Beckley. This is what Big Cole did to me. This is what Appalachian Regional Hospital did to me.
Oh, hey.
Because all I did was speak the truth.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Oh, Lordy, what a day! What a day! What a day! Not that it's much different from any other day. Mean Republicans, rotten Republicans, stinking Republicans, filthy Republicans, all manner of disgusting Republicans polluting what is otherwise could be such a wonderful, wonderful country. But it's what we have to deal with. It just is. And I know it's been wall-to-wall Minneapolis Bridge today as far as the news coverage is concerned. And there are some things that should be said about it, and I'm going to say them. But more than... Okay, first of all, do you remember, do you remember what fun, not fun, what mean-spirited vitriol the right wing would direct at Bill Clinton when he would go somewhere that people were suffering and try to at least put an arm around a shoulder and show some common human dignity? I remember the mockery of Flush Flimball, the oxymoron. I remember it well. I feel your pain, and he thought it was so funny when Bill Clinton said, "I feel your pain," because in the world that the people like Flimball inhabit, actually feeling someone else's pain or giving a rat's rear end about someone else's pain is alien. It's not something that they do. So it was big fun when Bill Clinton said, "I feel your pain." Now, this bridge has collapsed, and, you know, I've seen the security camera video of it collapsing. And what a horror that is. Here in West Virginia, we have people of a certain age have their own horror of that kind of thing, because we remember the collapse of the Silver Bridge across the Ohio River. Agnes's mama was there when it collapsed. And it has an especial horror. And so it has a certain resonance. But this bridge collapse in Minneapolis, horrifying in so many ways, and made more so by the knowledge, the information that's now beginning to come out, also proved to be a manifestation of the sort of vacuous, hollow fakery of George Bush. I've got audio here for you that we're going to play. These were George's comments today with regard to the collapse of the bridge. Just sit back and listen.
Good morning. I just had finished a cabinet meeting. One of the things we discussed was the terrible situation there in Minneapolis.
Oh, it was a terrible situation.
We talked about the fact that the bridge collapsed.
Really?
And that we in the federal government must respond and respond robustly to help the people there not only recover.
Wait. Stop it. That we in the federal government must respond and respond robustly. George, I know you like to pretend that you're a real down-at-the-heels cowboy out on the wide-open prairie country kind of fella. So let me see if I can haul up a country analogy for you. We don't need a robust federal response now, George, nearly as badly as we needed a robust federal response over the last 6.5 years of your gross criminal negligence. All right? What you're doing, by way of that country analogy, I promised you, George, what you're doing is you're closing the barn door after the horse has done been gone. Yes, you are. Or we can take it to another cultural analogy. You're talking now about rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. George, I don't know if your cabinet told you about it or not, but we've got problems in this country that have gone neglected and unaddressed for lo these long, miserable years that your sole focus has been on avenging the insult to your daddy by wreaking havoc on an entire people in Iraq. Ugh. Next.
Cover, but to make sure that lifeline of activity, that the bridge gets rebuilt as quickly as possible. To that end, Secretary Peters is in Minneapolis.
Well.
As well as Federal Highway Administrator Kapka.
Well, it's all better then.
I spoke to Governor Polente.
Huh?
And,
time out. Governor Polente? Minnesota's governor has now been transformed to an Italian dish made of grits? That's not his name, is it? Governor Polente? There's a level of indignity that attaches to the way this man treats other human beings. On a routine and regular basis, this business about the press conference at Camp David, where Chicken George insulted the political editor of the BBC, Nick Robinson. He posed a couple of questions to George Bush, and George looks at him and says, "Are you still hanging around?" And then you know, I guess Robinson is follicularly challenged. He's bald. And he said, "You'd better cover up your bald head. It's getting hot out." Bless his heart. Nick Robinson looks back and says, "Why, Mr. President, I didn't know you cared." You know, the difference between somebody who will go and put their arms around a suffering human being and just try to impart some common human decency and dignity in an undignified, gut-wrenching, heart-rending situation and say something like, "I feel your pain," as compared with this sort of monotonous, meaningless, from the lips but not from the heart babble that we get from George Bush is positively astonishing.
Back this morning, I told them that the secretary would be there. I told them we would help with rescue efforts.
There aren't any rescue efforts, George.
But also told them how much we are.
Here it comes.
In prayer for.
No, we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray.
My fellow citizens for holding up those who are suffering right now in prayer.
Wait a minute. Copy boy, we got to go over that again. For holding up these people who are suffering in prayer? They're suffering in prayer?
I thank my fellow citizens for holding up those who are suffering right now in prayer.
Suffering right now in prayer. Throw me down the stairs, my hat. Throw Mama from the train a kiss. Those who are suffering in prayer. And you can, the fundamentalism comes sneaking through a little bit here too, because he says holding up. And if you were to watch one of the services from, say, multimillionaire Pastor John Hagee, who lives on a 5,100 square foot Greek Revival mansion on an 800 acre ranch and fronts Kufi, like we talked to about talked to Thomas Shoemaker about last night, you'll know that within that evangelical fundamentalism, that's code. Lord, we lift this up to you in prayer. You know what, George? The suffering families, the ones who still do not have answers in Minneapolis, don't need your stinking prayers. They need help. They need the Army Corps of Engineers. They need massive machinery. They need skin divers. They need deep submersibles. They need cameras to get to the bottom of the Mississippi and look for their missing, their beloved, and their dead. They don't need your prayers, George. They need your help. And that help is not forthcoming. You'll notice in all of that, I've dispatched the Secretary of the Interior, and the USDA, there will be a USDA inspector on site very, very soon. Nothing in there about him getting on a plane and going to Minneapolis. Nothing about whether or not he was sitting around reading My Pet Goat when the collapse occurred, because he probably was. His entire presidency is one long reading of My Pet Goat. On the other hand, just so you can feel better about some of this, you need to know that Laura Bush will be traveling to the bridge collapse scene tomorrow, Friday. She'll be at the scene of the deadly interstate bridge collapse, according to a White House announcement. Of course, it's just convenient that the bridge happened to be collapsing in Minneapolis anyway, because Laura was always already scheduled to be there. It's not like she's going out of her way. She was already scheduled to visit the Twin Cities, where she's to appear at the Republican National Committee summer meeting in Minneapolis and the America's Youth 4th Regional Conference in St. Paul. The White House said she will go to the Interstate 35 West Bridge Collapse Overlook, oh, for heaven's sakes, and then visit the command post to see volunteers and first responders, and maybe talk to some of those people who are suffering in prayer. What's the old Joe Hill line? They will say, day by day, live on hay, there'll be pie in the sky when you die. This and so it is, and so it is with the hollow drum that is George Bush. He makes a big noise, but only when somebody slaps him. So that's the beginning tonight. It is far from that's far from everything we're going to hit on. I've got a harrowing story here, coming out of a beautiful, beautiful place in America, Asheville, North Carolina. And audio to go with that too. You're going to love this. Be careful with your flags. That's all I can tell you. So that's the beginning of the program. You know how to get involved. You know that you're welcome to get involved. 877-443-2366 or 304-658-5453. Both work just fine. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. Oh, by the way, the contact email information that we gave out during our debut is not in effect. So, to request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at BillyShearsMusic.com. That's Erica with a K, and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to NightSounds@BillyShearsMusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to wateruseitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water, use it wisely.
I made an American squirm, and it felt so right. On screen was a musical worm, deep, deep into the night.
Yeah, there's nerve and there's nerve. And it takes some nerve on the day after something like the Minneapolis bridge collapse. It takes a lot of nerve for George Bush to come out and accuse congressional Democrats of porking up the appropriations bills with unnecessary spending. Now, he's never mind the fact that all over the web, you know, you go, you can find out how much the Iraq war is costing second by second by second by second with the tickers. Somebody gave George some math today, and he's carping about an extra $22 billion in spending that Democrats want to add to the $2.9 trillion budget that doesn't even include the cost of the war. He said that $205 billion averages out to about $112 million per day, $4.7 million per hour, $78,000 per minute. Put another way, that's about $1,300 in higher spending every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every year for the next 5 years. And I know darn good and well, I'm reading the quote, I know darn good and well he did not get through that flawlessly. And I also know he didn't do it himself. In fact, at that pace, Democrats in Congress would have spent an extra $300,000 since I began these remarks. Huh. Huh. Well, it takes that some brass. There's an interstate bridge laying at the bottom of the Mississippi River in Minnesota, and he's complaining about domestic spending. That is some brass. Because again, I don't know how to emphasize this adequately, that this is going to happen again and again and again and again. It's going to be a bridge in Minnesota. Last time it was a bridge in California. And it goes on and on. And America's infrastructure is crumbling from neglect. And granted, it takes a while to get there, but you can accelerate that neglect. You can accelerate it. You can make it worse. You can make it worse by spending your blood and your treasure on a foreign desert 15,000 miles away for no good reason. And pumping all you've got into that. Oh, Lord, there are things that are so easy to forget, aren't they? It's so easy to forget that when the presidency was stolen from Al Gore, that there was a budget surplus, a profound budget surplus. We're not talking about pennies in the old Coke bottle. We're talking about meaningful money that could have made a profound difference in the way that America is today and isn't now. And will not be. There is so much work to do. It's daunting. It is daunting when you consider what Democrats have to do in order to start saving this nation. Because we are on the primrose path to hell, and you know it, and I know it. The nerve of that man. With families shaken in terror and apprehension and grief, and the high possibility that there are still vehicles underneath the waters of the Mississippi River. And he has the nerve to come out and carp about budget numbers? See, that's the thing, and it's been noted by people who are far more expert on this than I am, that whenever George Bush tries to talk about human compassion or concern or giving a rat's rear end about someone else besides himself, that he fumbles and stumbles and says things like people suffering in prayer. He's functionally almost illiterate. On the other hand, however, when he starts talking about killing people, or blowing them up, or invading them, or destroying their lives, he is flawlessly articulate. And this is another instance of that. So, George, you can get on the plane and you can fly all over the country if you want to hustle some administration agenda, but somehow you can't find time. This is August the 2nd. It's almost vacation time. And he can't find time to go and visit? And he has to send his wife instead? for the life of me, I can't make sense of that. Well, I can make sense of that. I can't countenance it. I can't bear to think about someone who is so cold, so hard-hearted, so soulless. You know, the budget name calling can wait. The budget name calling can happen tomorrow on Friday. I know he's got a busy schedule, but it can wait. He can sort of wedge that in somewhere else. Today, America is suffering. Minneapolis is suffering. Minnesota is suffering. And it used to be that when one part of America suffered, the rest of America reached out. The Twins have canceled their game for this evening. They didn't cancel last night simply because it would have contributed to the problem to turn everybody loose from the Metrodome at that point in time. It would have made the traffic nightmare and all the emergency response even more difficult. But tonight the game is canceled. Game called. But George Bush couldn't refrain from engaging in just sleazy political mudslinging. He couldn't, not for as the leader of the United States of America, he couldn't step back and say, "Today America is feeling great sorrow over the bridge collapse in Minneapolis." And so I'm going to go into my spider hole, and I won't come out for at least a day, out of respect for the dead. He couldn't do that. But Republicans don't do that. Republicans don't have off years. They don't have off days. They don't have off months. They're always, 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 always on the attack. I'm still surprised that somewhere along the way some right-winger hasn't gotten around to saying that Al-Qaeda made the bridge fall down as opposed to rotten concrete. Because, you know, that story is out. Not Al-Qaeda, but the rotten concrete. You know that, right? Twice since 2001. 2001. Why does that date seem to be... why does that strike a chord with it? Twice since 2001. But you can't say... Twice since George Bush became the President of the United States, published reports, State 35 Bridge. It has many poor fatigue details on the main truss and the floor truss system. And that was a report conducted for the Minnesota Department of Transportation in 2001. You know, this is a bridge. This is a bridge. This isn't a roadbed. This is a bridge. Bridges have to be zealously and vigorously maintained. But it was let slide. It was let slide. The executive summary of the report also says that the fatigue problems with the bridge's approach span were another part of the problem. It attributed the fatigue problems primarily to what it called unanticipated out-of-plane distortions in the girders. Now, I'm no engineer, but that makes it sound to me like they were able to identify that the girders were beginning to twist and or buckle. Also in the report were the words, "Fatigue cracking is not expected during the remaining useful life of the bridge." Charming. The rotten stuff is never expected, is it? 2 years later, the U.S. Department of Transportation's National Bridge Inventory makes the conclusion that the bridge is structurally deficient. Structurally deficient. Now, what do you do? How do you respond to that? How can one help but respond to that as I am responding? By wondering why something wasn't done about it. Now, I'm sure that there's some libertarian or right-winger or Republican out there already babbling away of it. It's not the federal government's fault to make sure that Minnesota... This is the interstate highway system. This is the national defense highway system. And it's fallen apart. One of these evenings when we talk to our good friend Alan, the over-the-road truck driver, I'm going to ask him about America's highway system. Because he sees it day in and day out. And he knows what it's like. The people that are on the roads can tell you that the roads are not in good shape. And the roads aren't in good shape because we're busy bombing the snot out of Iraq. And because we're busy doing everything but attending to the people's business. Because, after all, public highways are socialized highways, aren't they? This is sickening. This is just sickening.